We fellowship about the life of a vessel that was being used by the Lord in the present age. Brother Lee calls Watchman Nee a seer of the divine revelation in the present age. He was not just a worker, but he was a seer of the divine revelation in the present age. But in order to be a seer of the divine revelation, God has to work in us first. One of the famous words of Brother Nee, he said, what God is doing is to not to work by us, that is not to work a work to use us to be his workers, but to work in us. The real work is to be worked by God, so that God work in us. And God works in us through different circumstances. Sometimes he works in us through people, those that are around us. Watchman Nee had a person that he loved, and that became somebody that God worked in him. It was not so much whether he should marry that person or not marry that person. It is through that experience he gained God in a deeper way. Amen. And that is the most important thing. Also, Watchman Nee was very weak in health. And ever since he was young, the Lord sovereignly gave him the sickness, which was a congenital heart disease that was with him his whole life. And he was so weak that at times that he would be laying on bed for days. And sometimes when he spoke, he had to lean his chest against the podium. Sitting down, leaning his chest against the podium. Well, none of us today that are serving in the churches is ever that weak. But if you read his writings, he would use expressions like, any moment my earthly tabernacle would be unstaked. You know, you put the stake there, that means pitch the tent there. He said, any moment my earthly tabernacle, that means my body, would be unstaked, taken away. Or he would use expressions like, daily I'm living in the crevice of the enemy's teeth, so that the enemy was buffeting him and putting him down. We cannot imagine a life that is like that. Sometimes you get sick, you have a cold, or you have some kind of sickness, and you're down for 2 days, and you just feel like miserable. Just imagine that somebody that is sick year in and year out. When he had his tuberculosis of the lung, he said he did not get up from his bed for 176 days. Have you ever been sick that much? Well, that is another means that God used to work himself into us. So you have to be very impressed that today what God is doing is to work himself into us. And when he worked himself into us, then we have a history with God. In the Old Testament, you have a person called Jacob. And Jacob surely had God worked into him through and through. He wasn't born a good person, but through all the circumstances, God worked himself as the Spirit into him. And you know, when he was young, he loved Rachel, but he was not able to get Rachel. He had to work first for Leah and then for Rachel. And when he got older, then he was a really very capable person. And if he is living today, he would be really a very successful entrepreneur. Jacob, he would be. Maybe another very successful millionaire. And if he were to be left to himself, probably he would have become very, very successful. But then God put him in the hand of a person more conniving than he was. That was his uncle, Laban. And Laban changed his wages 10 times. He really suffered. But this suffering was not just for suffering's sake. It was to work God into him. Amen. And then when he was old, you know something? When a person is young, the biggest thing in his life is love, marriage. When you get older, the biggest thing is career, job. Then when you still get older, the biggest thing is children, family. Isn't that true? Well, when you get to my age, you know that it's true. Well, you consider, God used all these things to work himself into Jacob. When Jacob was young, he got worked into by God through his love and his marriage. Then when he got older, God worked himself into him through his career, his enterprise. Then when he got old, see, God took away his most beloved. Who was that? Joseph. You know, he loved Joseph more than anybody else. And God just took him away. Well, in man's eyes, this is really very, very cruel. Very cruel. But in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Well, that is the biggest blessing. That blessing is better than love, marriage, career, enterprise, children, family. It's bigger than anything. If you get God work into you, that is better than all of these things. That's why God used all these environments. Why? To work himself into the vessel that he has chosen. And that was the experience of Watchman Nee. You just read Watchman Nee's life. It was just a life full of suffering. And the last 20 years of his life was the worst suffering. He spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. He wasn't able to see his wife. He wasn't even able to live a proper, normal life. But all those is not just so that we can be a hero. But the purpose of that is that God would work himself into us, into our humanity, so that God's attributes would shine out in our human aromatic virtues. That's what God is doing. And when God does that, then he makes you a minister of the New Testament ministry. So if you read the Old Testament talks about blessing. If you fear God, if you love God, if you turn away from sin, then God will bless you. God will bless you with material good generations after generations. But if you turn to the New Testament, the blessing is the triune God. And all these ones, Paul, Peter, they all suffer, especially Paul. Now, Paul was number one apostle. He, other than Jesus Christ, maybe he was one of the few men that lived on earth that really marked history, and his life was really the most famous man on earth. Yet, you just consider his life. His life was just full of suffering. And if you consider the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians says that Paul, he's a minister of the New Testament. But he said, we're pressed on all sides, despair, almost to despair. And he said, we have this treasure in the earthen vessel, in the earthen vessel, and that daily our outward man is dying, decaying, decaying. And you said, well, what is so attractive about that? Listen, that is the attraction. That is the attraction. You want to know what attracted us to pursue after the Lord? It's not so much the crown of glory in the millennial kingdom. It's a life that is full of God. And when you read Paul, you just realize that here is a man that he lived a really worthwhile life on earth, because he lived a life that is just worked on by God. God was in him. And that constituted him a New Testament minister. In a sense, that's what we all have to go through. When I tell you about all these stories of Watchman Nee, surely the circumstances cannot be repeated. And the people cannot be repeated. The events cannot be repeated. But God is doing exactly the same thing today as he is doing in every single generation, which is to work himself into us so that we would have a history with God. Amen. And that is how God has a history with us. He has a history with us by working through us. I'll just briefly mention one or two more things about Watchman Nee's life, and then I will move on to the work. I like to talk about his sickness. I mentioned that a little bit already, but I have never been that sick as Watchman Nee was, but I have been sick, and when you're sick, it's not a pleasant experience. Well, Watchman Nee was sick before he was 30 years old. He got this tuberculosis, and tuberculosis of the lung at that time, before the days of penicillin, was a terminal illness. And people who had tuberculosis, TB, they usually leave them to die. And the TB hospital was the terminal hospital. And I remember when I was young, I visited some TB hospital. Those patients, they are very, very distressful. They're waiting to die. Well, Watchman Nee found out that he had TB, and that's like cancer today, when he was less than 30 years old. And he said, before I die, I have to write down what God has committed to me. I can't die now. So in his sickness, he began to write the book called The Spiritual Man. And he wrote that book, listen, before he was even 30 years old. And if you read that book today, it is a very, very, it talks about the deep spiritual experience. Even some of them, we don't experience. We're not able to experience today. But Watchman Nee, because God was doing something special in him, so he passed through all these terrible experience just so that God can use him to write down that book. And that his sickness lasted for about two or three years. And like I said, at one time he was in bed for 176 days. And during that time, daily he was fighting. He said he was face to face fighting with the devil, and Satan was trying to persecute, buffet his body, and even to take away his life. But during all that time, he experienced God as his healer. He also experienced what it is to live by faith. Well, some of you have not heard his story about how he experienced God as his healer. I'll just briefly mention that. The news was going out that Watchman Nee was dying. In fact, some rumor that he has died already. Well, during that period of sickness, he was daily struggling with the Lord. And in his struggle with the Lord gave him promises. And it's in the form of a few verses. One was that the just shall live by faith. By faith you shall live. And then another verse said, by faith you stand. And then another verse says, we walk by faith. So he got these three verses. By faith I live, by faith I stand, and by faith I walk. When that word came, faith got into him. And he realized that that was God's promise. And he took that promise, and he got up from his bed. And when he got up from his bed, sweat was pouring down like rain. But he said, I'm going to hold on to God's promise. And he did. And he was able to stand up, and he walked down the stairs. When he walked down the stairs, he looked down the stairs, he said, he has never seen stairs that threatening. It was 24 steps. But then he said, the just shall walk by faith. And so he walked, and he walked to the bottom of the stairs. And by then he was walking very quickly. And then he walked out of the house and went to the house of the sisters that were praying for him. And he said, God has healed me. And when everybody heard that, they were all silent and just looked at each other. And were silent for a long, long time. And then finally, they started praying. He gave that story of his healing later in 1936, about 5 or 6 years after he was healed. But it was a definite divine healing. Now, I haven't experienced that, but I know that God does heal people. And God healed Watchman Nee for a reason. Not just so that there would be, he would have a good experience, have a wonderful experience to tell others, but that he would experience God as the living one, the one that he can depend on. So this was his experience of God as his healer. Well, of course, in his later life, he told his co-workers, he said, there are a few ways to deal with sickness. Some sickness come from the devil, and you have to withstand it, oppose it. He said that in Kuling. Some sickness is because of natural reason, because you haven't taken care of your nutrition, you haven't taken care of your sleep, you haven't exercised, and that just needs to take care of it in a normal, according to a normal reason. Some sickness is from God, and it is so that you would experience it. So that he would add himself into you. Well, I would say that that sickness that Watchman Nee had when he was young, the TB, was from God. And he never did come back with that sickness. In his later life, he was sick of many things. He was sick of his stomach trouble. He had ulcer. And he was sick of heart. His heart, he said, he could have stopped any time. And sometimes he walked on the street. And halfway through, he has to hold on to the lamppost because he was so weak. But in spite of the fact that he was so, so weak, he was able to minister all the way from the time when he was 20 years old when he got saved, or 17 when he got saved, all the time when he went into prison in 1952. And for the last 7 or 8 years, I was translating Watchman Nee's work. And most of those were things written by Watchman Nee, either his magazines or his books. And it's in 62 volumes. And I consider how prolific this man was. You know, I was just translating, okay? I was just translating. And I spent all these years just translating, doing nothing almost. But here it was, a brother who was building up churches, holding conferences, visiting, and so forth. And yet, in between the time, he was writing all these things, you know, putting out all these magazines and putting out all these books and messages. Of course, a lot of the messages were given by him. They were not written by him. They were edited by some sisters that were helping him. But even so, you consider all these messages that he gave. It's really quite marvelous that it is truly a treasure in the earthen vessel that is manifested. And when we consider the experience of Watchman Nee, and even lately, Brother Lee, it just makes us not afraid of sickness, and we're not afraid of death. You know, all these things are things that are in God's hand, and He provided all these things so that He can work Himself into us. So that is one thing that I like to share, experiencing God as the great physician. Then another thing that I would like to add on is his marriage and his engaging in business. Watchman Nee was 32 years, and he was still not married. And his mother was a very strong person. I told you that already yesterday. And she was very concerned about this this son. And so she went around during the Fourth Overcomers Conference the Fourth Overcomers Conference. That was in Hangzhou. And he told all the co-workers, he said, "You have to help my son to get married." Well, it's a very interesting story, I must admit. And every time I heard it, it's very amusing. And I couldn't quite understand some of the details when Brother Lee first shared. I just couldn't understand why a person get married would get into such a big storm and trouble. Well, gradually I got the background and I understood it a little bit more. Well, it's hard to share all the detail, but you know, when God wants to work on somebody, He uses all kinds of things. So a thing so simple and so common that everybody would go through in their life, you know, just marriage, you meet somebody that you love, and you get married. But for Watchman Nee, his marriage just turned out to be such a big cross and dealing and suffering for him. And the reason for that was the guardian of his wife was also a very, very nasty lady. She wanted fame, she wanted recognition. In the bottom of her heart, she doesn't want her niece to get married to a poor preacher. So she used all kinds of excuses. She insisted that Watchman Nee had to come and visit her, pay her a visit, and ask her for the hand of her niece before she would let her go. And Watchman Nee's, this is the way Watchman Nee behave. If you don't ask him, he would do it. If you ask him, he wouldn't do it. And he said, just because he wanted me, he insisted that I would do that, I would not do it. Well, that was not the main reason that there was the storm. The underlying reason was that this guardian was very, very strong person. And so she opposed the marriage to the end, and even after they got married, she would still oppose it and put out the thing in the newspaper to oppose that marriage. And I saw that newspaper some time ago, Brother Silas Wu, somewhere in the library in New England, he dug it up, and I looked at it. It's unbelievable that somebody married, and then they put all kinds of rumor and slander in the newspaper. And of course, because of that, you know, Watchman Nee had a lot of stir up a lot of opposition among the denominational people, and so they used that as an excuse to oppose Watchman Nee. And one of the reasons that they used to oppose Watchman Nee, he said, well, Watchman Nee has been talking about the cross, telling people to give up the world, telling people not to love the world and so forth. Now, see, he's married to this lady who comes from this family that is so, so worldly. Why is he married to her? Well, Charity, that is his wife, she is not worldly. But her guardian, her aunt, was very worldly. And because of that, it gets into this kind of a complicated situation. Well, because of that, he was not able to minister, because there was just, you know, just imagine, everybody just talking about this news, this story. Oh, that, you know, things about marriage, these are the juicy stories. People just like to talk about them. And he just became this center of these juicy tales and rumors to the point that he was not able to function. And he had to drive away and go away and just left Shanghai, the place where he ministered. So this was another cross, another suffering for Brother Nee. And he loved his wife very, very much. I told you that yesterday. In fact, I had a little poem. And this man that was in the same prison as Watchman Nee, he showed me that. He said Watchman Nee wrote this for his wife. I don't know where I put it now. But, you know, he really loved his wife. And they never had children. There was one time where she was pregnant, and then they had a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage. And then she never had a child again. So they didn't have any children. And it was just the two of them just loving each other. But then to the end, they were not able to see each other. You know, when they die, she was trying to hang something, and then she stood on a little stool, and then the stool tripped, and then she fell, and it, you know, she was in her 70s, in her 60s, late 60s, so when she tripped, and then she fell, and then she died. And when she died, he was not in a prison, he was in what they call a labor farm. You know, the communist says, labor will reform you. So the best way to reform a person is to put him in labor. So there are the proper prisons. The prisons are for the criminals. Well, after you get out of prison, there are too many people in Shanghai. So don't go back to Shanghai. So go to somewhere in between. And that somewhere in between is a labor farm. Well, it's a farm, but it's not a farm where you go and you work and you get your money. It's a farm where you go and you labor and you get your mind reformed. So he was in this kind of a labor farm. Well, strictly speaking, a person who is in labor farm is not a prisoner. So he can get the holiday, like this person who was in prison with him for 7.5 years, he get a holiday. And he can go back to Shanghai to visit his families and so forth. So strictly speaking, a person, especially if you have funeral, weddings, and things like that, and the authority would usually allow you to go back. Well, when Watchman Nee heard that his wife has died, he asked for permission to be able to go back. Well, they they never allow him to go back. And like I said yesterday, every day he cried. And that for about half a year, and then half a year later, he died. What a life. You know, you consider Watchman, it was really a drink offering. Completely poured out, completely sacrificed. And why? Because God wants to work himself into this vessel. And so today, I would really strongly encourage you, young people, go back and pray and say, Lord, I give myself to you, because God is not going to work on you until you give yourself to him for him to work on you. You give him the liberty, then he will work on you. But he'll use all kinds of circumstances just so that he can wrought himself into you. Don't try to imagine what kind of circumstances it is. Maybe I will be like Watchman Nee or this. Maybe it will, maybe it will not. Okay, so this is what I like to share about his life. Now, I want to go on with the ministry of Watchman Nee. I like to begin by sharing this. That in every age, God has only one vision. In the age of Adam, he showed him a vision. The vision of the skin, the animal skin. And he took that skin, and that vision was what he saw. Well, in the age of Abel, there was also the vision. And Abel, he served God according to the vision. Cain was his brother. You have to remember that Cain was not cursing God. He was also serving God and worshiping God. But he was not worshiping God and serving God according to a vision. He was not serving in that vision. He was not in the vision. Then you have Enosh. And at the time of Enosh, he also had a vision that man is frail, and he needs to call upon the name of the Lord. So in every age, man served God according to the vision. And then you move on and you have Noah. And Noah, he also saw a vision. And he served God according to that vision. And his vision was that God told him that he would build an ark. And he spent 120 years building that ark. And at the end of the 120 years, towards the end of the 120 years, still there was no rain. Just imagine a man, he just spent his whole life just building this big boat. Why was he doing that? He did that because it was based on a vision. And brotherly, I was just editing this message before I came. And brotherly said, don't think that during the time of Noah, it was only his family that was worshiping God and fearing God. If you read the history, he said, you can see that at that time, a lot of people, they had the concept and idea of God. But they were not worshiping God and serving God according to the proper vision. Only Noah and his family. His family doesn't necessarily have the vision, but they follow the one who had the vision. And in every age, Brother Lee said, there is only one vision. And God gave that vision to some people, and they serve according to that vision. Then we move on to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the first one was the Lord Jesus. And you have to realize that at that time, there were priests and scribes and a lot of people that were serving God in a very dignified way in the temple. But they were not serving according to a vision. They have no vision at all. And in fact, they were persecuting the very God. But here it was another, on the other side, it was these people. Most of them are just less than 20 years old. And they're all Galileans, fishermen. Hardly anybody that would that you would respect, that you would think very highly of. Yet, These ones were following someone who had the vision. And Peter, he didn't have the vision, but he, wherever Jesus went, he went. Jesus went to Galilee, he followed him to Galilee. Jesus went to Jerusalem, he followed him to Jerusalem. And just because of that, you know, who was God with at that time? Was he with all those ones that were burning incense, offering sacrifices, with a temple that was built in 30 years? No, God was not with them. Who was he with? He was this bunch of young ones who just like playing. You know, they just go around following this Jesus. But he had a vision. And then after that, you have the apostles. And the first one was Peter and his companion. And then you have Paul. And then when Paul was first raised up, it was Barnabas who had the vision. But then, after a while, when the critical moment came, Barnabas didn't have anything to say. And Paul had the vision. And he started speaking. And the words just came out like torrents pouring out. And then it gets to, they were in Acts chapter 15. They all went down together to the conference in Jerusalem. And after that, they came back and they were going to go on their second journey. And when they were going to go on their second journey, Barnabas, he wanted to take his relative, his cousin, Mark, along with him. And Paul would not agree. And the two of them had a contention, no small contention. And because of that, they went separate way. And after that, the Bible never mentioned the book of Acts, never mentioned the move of Barnabas anymore. Well, the vision was Paul. Paul carried on the vision. Well, today we have to realize, who are the ones that have the vision? Well, first of all, what is the vision? Well, the vision is cumulative in every age. At the time of Adam, he only saw the skin, the animal skin. At the time of Abraham, he saw something more. Then at the time of David, he saw something more. When we come to the New Testament, then we see something more again. Every age, people see the vision that is a cumulative total of the ones that are before him. But today, what is to serve God according to the proper vision? Well, to serve God according to the proper vision means that we serve God according to the totality of the vision that we receive. And what is the vision that we receive today? The vision that we receive today is the vision of God's New Testament economy, which inherits and is the totality, the consummation of all the vision that started from Adam all the way to Revelation. You know, in the Gospels, the disciples they saw Jesus and they did see a vision, but they didn't see it completely. You know, that vision was not complete. So it took somebody like Paul to come to complete the Word of God. And when Paul came, he completed the Word of God. He saw something more. He saw something that Peter didn't see. Even Peter said, you have to, there's something that you don't understand. You just can't try to explain it by your own natural mentality. He realized that there's something that Paul saw that he didn't see. Then John came along and he concludes the whole divine revelation. So today, when we say we see the vision, what is this vision? It's not just Adam's vision. It's not just the Jesus walking on the earth. That vision is the vision of all 66 books of the Old and New Testament. And today, you may not be the one who sees the vision, but if like Paul and like Peter and John, you follow the one who sees the vision, then your service is reckoned as, is counted in the eyes of God. You know, that is being recorded. Like they're Paul's companions. Well, they may not see as much as Paul saw, but their records were written in the divine record. And they become part of those that serve in the line of vision. Well, I say this as a background. In talking about Watchman Nee's work, you know, our brother, from the day that he was raised up by the Lord, he saw a vision. And he was not serving according to tradition. He was not serving according to religion. He was serving according to a vision that he saw. And what is this vision that he saw? Well, a few years ago, Brother Lee summed up Brother Nee's ministry into four main points. The first point is the truth about salvation. The first magazine that our brother put out is a magazine called The Christian. And in that magazine, his stated goal was to fight atheism and to fight liberals. At that time, it was in the 20s. And, you know, liberalism and modernism was blowing everywhere in this country and then blowing over there a little bit, too. So the first thing he said, his stated aim was to fight modernism and to fight liberalism. And that is not all. He started talking about the truth about salvation, eternal security of salvation. People at that time said, you are never sure, you can never be sure that you are saved. It is very presumptuous to say that you're saved. Well, Brother Nee, in his writings, made it very clear what it is to be saved. In fact, what the first article was, can man be saved through doing good work? And he proved that good works cannot save man. Well, that is a very good foundation. Not only did he make clear the matter of salvation, but he made it very clear the difference between salvation and receiving a reward. You know, after we're saved, if you sin, or if you do not pursue the Lord, then what is going to happen? Well, some say that, well, then you will become unsaved again. Well, that's unscriptural. Because once you're saved forever. But then, people say, if that is the case, then I can sin just as well as all those people that are not saved. Well, you are saved forever, and you have the eternal life. But that does not mean that you will have the reward. And the fact that you will get a reward, or you will get punished, does not mean that you will lose your salvation. But this is the truth that we now call the kingdom truth. But right there, very, very early, Brother Nee make it very clear in his magazine, The Christian. And in fact, in those few, he has a whole series of study called The Study of Meditations on Revelation. And in that series of study, he made it very clear that the difference between receiving salvation and receiving the reward. Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus and you confess your sins, then you believe in what the cross has done for you, you will be saved and your sins are washed away. But then there is the question of the millennium. And when the millennium comes, there are those who are the overcomers. There are also those that are not the overcomers. And those that are not the overcomers, not only will they not receive a reward, but they will be punished. And the punishment can be very serious. Like, for example, in Revelation, it says that those that overcome will not taste the second death. Have you read that verse? Those that overcome will not taste the second death. Well, the converse of that is those that do not overcome will taste the second death. If you don't overcome, if you fall into sin, if you do not pursue the Lord, if you live in your flesh, then you will taste the second death. Well, what is the second death? The second death is the lake of fire. It says in Revelation, you know, those that do not believe in the Lord will be thrown into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. So the second death is the lake of fire. So what does that mean? That means those that are not overcomers will taste the lake of fire. Well, does that mean that even after you're saved, you will still go to the lake of fire? Well, it doesn't say that those who do not overcome will go to the second death. It says they will taste the second death. Well, it may not be exactly in the lake of fire, but it is something very close to the lake of fire. And in fact, Brother Nee said, the lake of fire is reserved for people after the millennium. After the millennium, Satan, the false prophet, and all the unbelievers will go into the lake of fire. But during the millennium, the lake of fire will be very empty. So you figure out the consequence. I think at one point he said they will go there temporarily. But that was too bold. We dare not put that in. But at least you have the verses in Matthew that says, if you curse your brother and say that he's a raka, you're a fool, then you will not escape the fire of Gehenna. What is the fire of Gehenna? The Gehenna fire is the fire of hell. And, you know, there are many verses that are very, very sober, very, very serious. Well, there is a destiny for Christians. Their eternal destiny is eternal life. And nobody can pluck us out of the Lord's hand. Praise the Lord. You know, we have the hand of the Father. We have the hand of the Lord Jesus. And these two hands hold us secure forever. And nobody can take us out of these secure hands. Once we're saved forever. But what you do today can mean what you will experience in the millennium. And also, Watchman, he said, it does say in the Bible that those who believe in the Lord Jesus will not perish forever. He said that means you can perish temporarily. So that's a difference. There is a big difference. That's why in the Lord's recovery, our desire is to be the overcomers. Amen. We know for sure that we're saved. Once we're saved, we would never be lost. I told you, when I was 16, I started becoming serious with the Lord. And then I suddenly start worrying about my salvation. I said, how can I be sure that I'm saved? And then I read some books, and it says that you have to confess your sins. And if you don't confess your sins, that sin is still undealt with. And I was not too clear about the truth. So I started trying to deal with sins. And every time I lie, every time I was mad at somebody, I tried to deal with it. But the more I tried to deal with it, the more sins there were. And so I just really get very bothered by sin. And then I read this book by John Bunyan. And it says, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Oh, and his experience is so close to my experience. He was always condemned. What am I going to do? I can't get rid of this condemnation of sin. I struggled for years. And finally, when I read Brother Nee's book about the assurance of salvation, it was such a joy. Then I realized, whether I feel good or I feel bad, I'm a child of God. I can never be lost. That was wonderful. And that is a big heritage that we have today. It's a truth that we have. But then on the other hand, we have to also to realize once we are saved, we have to strive to be overcomers. And if we're not overcomers, then there is a danger that we will get the punishment. But if we are overcomers, then we'll get the reward. So that's the first truth. Then the second one is the truth about the church. We really thank the Lord today that these brothers opened up the way for us. Otherwise, we'll still be in the denominations, and we won't realize how wrong it is. But, you know, Brother Watchman, he got a lot of help from M.E. Barber, Miss Barber, Margaret Barber. And Miss Barber helped him to read through all the best literature and best writings of Christians throughout the 2,000 years. And through reading those things, he realized that it is wrong. The Christianity for the 2,000 years has inherited a lot of human traditional practices. And they brought all these practices to China. And Brother Ni used to say, we really appreciated the missionaries for bringing the Lord Jesus to us, and for bringing the Lord's name to us, and for bringing the Bible to us. But other than these three things, the rest of them we cannot take, because they're just so filled with human tradition. And in the first few messages, you realize how throughout the 2,000 years, the church has gradually degraded and went off the mark from God's vision. So I remember a story of a man who talked about the church being like a foundation, that a house that was being torn, and the foundation overgrown with grass to the point that you can't even recognize where the original foundation is. And that's the way it is with the church at this end time. But when Watchman Nee, he was called by the Lord, the first thing he saw was that we have to be absolute to the Lord's truth. If you follow the Lord's command, you cannot just follow one command and reject the other ones. You have to follow it all the way. And when he realized that to put the name in the denomination, he said, in that book of life, that they called it roster, everybody that got the infant baptism, you got sprinkled, then you got your name written in that roster, and they called it roster, the book of life. He said, in that book of life, in that denomination, are a lot of dead people that are never regenerated. And he realized that the church is not composed. It's composed only of believers, real believers. And so he resigned from the denomination. He said, I have no... I have no bitterness, and I have no argument with these people. It's just because I see the truth. Well, that is only the beginning, the first step. Then gradually he saw that the church is something spiritual. The church is something that is produced out of the death and resurrection of Christ. And these people who identify with the death and resurrection of Christ were regenerated, and they became the body of Christ. Of course, at first, he didn't see it in such clear way, and it came gradually, bit by bit, step by step. In 1934, he began to see how believers should come together to meet. And at that time, he saw a little bit that they should meet together in a locality, in a city, with no name. And we should only have one name, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus. Then a few years after that, then he saw further that in every city in the Bible, there is only one church. And the in the Bible, it calls a church by the name of that city. And that is the only denomination That is the only name that is given to the church. So in the church in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem, they have no name. The only name is the church in Jerusalem. And the same with the church in Antioch, the same with the church in Rome, and the church in Corinth. They are all named according to that city. So since 1937, he saw that there is only one, there should be only one city in one church, and that is the boundary of the church and the ground of the church. Well, we really thank the Lord for all these truths that are being released, because they lay the foundation for us to practice the church life. We cannot practice the church life in the denomination. How can you practice the church life in division? Thank the Lord, today we have a proper ground. And of course, it doesn't mean that our condition is good all the time. Many times our condition is not as good as those in the denominations. They love the Lord more, and they're consecrated, and they're more gifted. But they don't have the proper ground to practice the church life. Well, these brothers, they really pay the price and lay the groundwork and show us the truth, so that today we can say that we're practicing the church in the according to the proper truth, and that is we practice it according to the proper church ground. Well, after that, then we have to realize that we have to have the proper practice. And I tell you, we have come a long, long way, and it's not easy. It's not easy to change a practice, but the Lord really worked through all these obstacles, and thank the Lord for these faithful brothers. Let me just tell you a story. When I first got baptized in the church, that was 1964, and the church life was not like it is today. There was no prophesying, and on the Lord's Day, one person could get up to the podium and he spoke for an hour. And this was in the local church, and then after that, then the elders would come after him and he prayed for about five to ten minutes, and then he make the announcement, and that's the end of the meeting. And nobody was ever thought that we could prophesy or share or even share in the meeting. And in the prayer meeting, all the prayers was just so long. Every prayer is just like 2 or 3 minutes. And the young people, very, very few young people. It's as I look back, it's very much like the old brethren meeting. But that was already a big step advance from Christianity. At least for our Lord's table meeting, everybody opened their mouths to praise the Lord. And of course, tomorrow and then day after, we'll come to Brother Lee's ministry. And when Brother Lee's picked up the ministry and went on further, he had a lot of more improvement. But you just have to realize that today, I just appreciate the church life so much. When we get to the Lord's Day morning, everybody just share and prophesy, and our meeting is just so living. You have to realize that the church is manifested in this meeting. The meeting is manifested in the way we share. So if you say, if we don't have rich sharing of the saints, then we don't have a rich meeting. And if we don't have rich meeting, we don't have a rich church life. So the church life, in its practicality, is in the meeting, and it's in how the saints function in the meeting. Well, praise the Lord that these brothers really paid the price and fought the battle and really cleared the bushes, so that today we have a good, proper practice, both in our service and in our meeting. I would say that today we're much, much closer to what the Bible talks about as the body of Christ in Ephesians 4. where the body builds up itself in love. It's much, much closer than it was 70 years ago. And the practice just advanced step by step and step by step. Well, at the beginning, we didn't see it that much. Well, like for example, Brawley said, he said in the beginning days, sisters weren't even allowed to speak because they didn't see the truth enough. But just imagine if the sisters are not allowed to open up their mouth. They're not allowed to pray, they're not allowed to sing, and they're not allowed to prophesy. How poor that would be. That would take away half of the riches of the body. But that was what it was for a while, you know, because we didn't see the truth that clearly at the beginning. So only the brothers can share, only the brothers can pray, only the brothers can stand up and say something. And but then Watchmanee, he saw that this is not quite right. Because if you say that the sisters cannot open up their mouth, then even they open up their mouth to sing. At least they open up their mouth to sing. So how can you stop their mouth to pray while they open up their mouth to sing? So since they can open up their mouth to sing, you have to allow the riches to come out of them. So then we allow the sisters to start praying. So today, the sisters, you get the blessing. You're allowed to pray. You know, there was a time when you're not allowed to pray. So tonight, you get up here and you spoke. Oh, that's wonderful, because there is some portion within you. We realize that the sisters should not teach. That's right. That's what Paul said. You know, don't get up here and start teaching everybody. You don't have to. That's not what... God has not given you this. You have to realize that, you know. But then our practice advanced, and this riches in our speaking enrich our meeting. And when the meetings are rich, it means that our church life is rich. You can't just sit home and say, oh, I enjoy the church life. There's no such thing. The church life is in the meeting. If you don't come to the meeting, you don't have the church life. Don't cheat yourself and say, oh, I got the church life at home. There's no such a thing. The church is in the meeting. The meeting is the church. And when you come to the church, if you say, I don't function, then there's no meeting. Just imagine if we all come to the meeting, and we say, yeah, we're meeting, but nobody say a thing, nobody sing a hymn, nobody open their mouth. What kind of meeting is that? That is no meeting. The meeting is in the speaking.
Amen. Amen.
So the richer the speaking, the richer the meeting, the richer the meeting, the richer the church. Well... These are the things that are being released by Brother Ni. And of course, because of all these things, we just go against the grain of Christianity. We just invited all the opposition. People in Christianity, they didn't appreciate us. They think that we're going a different way. And they opposed Brother Ni. Now, everybody appreciate Brother Ni. At the Living Stream, we tried to put out advertisement. Everybody said, Watchmanee, good, no problem. Witness Lee, oh no. But when Watchmanee was living, you know, everybody was saying, Watchmanee, no. They say, Watchmanee is like, oh, the wild beast and the flood. It's terrible. 洪水猛兽 Terrible. You know, very much opposed to Brother Ni's ministry. And Brother Ni suffered his whole life. So that was the second truth. Then the third truth that Brother Ni recovered was the experience of Christ as life. And of course, you have to realize that today why people say, oh, we love Watchmanee because Watchmanee is so deep. And I tell you why. Because most Christians, all they talk about is stay on the judicial redemption side. They never get into the subjective side. They never get into the organic salvation. And the first thing that brother need recover was that the cross and the resurrection, they are all subjective. You know, it's not that the Lord, when he died on the cross, he didn't just remove our sins. He took us along. You know, it's not only our sins that are crucified. The self is crucified. And when the Lord went through the cross, that cross is not only a cross that was 2,000 years ago that objectively removed the sin, and so that we can, we're reconciled to God, we're no longer under the wrath of God. But that cross actually crucified ourselves, our natural man, and everything that has to do with us. Well, in the same way, the resurrection of Christ is not just an objective resurrection, historical fact 2,000 years ago that the Lord resurrected and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. But the resurrection of Christ means that that through his resurrection we receive his life and that we are identified with him in his resurrection, so that in his resurrection life we overcome the power of sin. It is through his resurrection life that we experience the overcoming life in us. So that brings the Lord's death and his resurrection to us in a very, very subjective way. Daily we experience the Lord's death and his resurrection. And it is in this context that we enjoy him as our life. Christ is not just our power, he's not just a gift, he is our very life. So day by day, we live not by our natural life, we live not by the self, and we not live not by the flesh. The flesh is crucified, and the old man is crucified with him. And everything that is related to the old creation is crucified. But then in resurrection, we are identified and we're joined to him. At that time, he didn't say that much about the life-giving spirit. When Brother Lee, eventually he saw more and more about the life-giving spirit. But even at that time, he shared something about the spirit. But whatever they shared, it was to bring us out of just the mere objective knowledge of the Bible into a subjective experience of the Lord himself in us. Amen. Not just as a power, not just as gift, not just as outward grace, but as our very life. Amen. Christ as our life. And of course, Brother Nee himself learned that. He did not learn that as a doctrine. He learned that when he was young. You know, when he was young, he had a co-worker 5 years older than he was. And he said when he was in school, he never took second place in anything. He could only take the first place. He could not stand being the second. And here he was put together with this brother 5 years older than he was, and that brother is just as in the flesh as he was when he was that young. And the two of them just argue all the time. And when they argue, then he would go to Miss Barber. Miss Barber said the younger should always submit to the older. And he said, that's not reasonable. He said, Christians should act by reason. He said, if he is right, then I should go along with him. If he is wrong and I'm right, then he should go along with me. You know, that is reasonable. And Christians should act by reason. Well, today, you know, we said we don't go by right and wrong, but we go by the tree of life. And that is a very, very, very basic principle. Listen, you learn this, just this one simple thing. It will go a long way in your personal life, in the church life, in your marriage life. 7 or 8 years ago, I remember, they had the rebellion. And during the rebellion, one sister stood up and she said, all these years we've been taught that we should not go by what is right, and we should not go by what is wrong, and that has confused our sense of right and wrong. Now we need to say, what is right, and what is wrong Well, you just listen to it, and it sounds quite right. Doesn't it sound quite right to you? But it's quite wrong. Because we don't go by right and wrong. You know, if you go by right and wrong, you have a big problem with your marriage life. You have a big, big problem because the marriage life has nothing to do with right and wrong. The marriage life, the only thing that will have a sweet marriage life is by life. If you go by right and wrong, you get a divorce. And the same with the church life. If you just learn this one very simple lesson, don't go by right and wrong, go by life. You go a long, long way. And watch when he learned that, you know, thank the Lord. The very beginning of his learning to serve the Lord. And he said every Saturday he'd go up to the mountain to cry. He just cried. He cannot stand being the second. He has to be the number one. And here again and again he got put down. And he couldn't stand it. For a year and a half, every Saturday, he go up to the mountain to pray. But that really show him the way of life. You know, a new vista opened before him, a new door before him. Prior to that, you know, he was in this realm. Now he's in an absolutely entirely different realm. The realm of what? The realm of gaining God. The realm of gaining life. So the third thing the Lord recovered through him was the experience of Christ as life. You know, the Pentecostals talk a lot about overcoming life, you know. But their overcoming is, overcoming the devil, removing the mountain, chasing out the demons, and so forth. But you read the book, we just came out with a new book called The Overcoming Life. And that book, when Watchman Nee talked about the overcoming life, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about overcoming the law of sin and of death in us. And to experience that overcoming life is not by praying 3 days and 3 nights. It's just by going along with Christ in identifying ourselves with his death and his resurrection. Well, today, the way we say it is to be joined to him, to be incorporated with him in the life-giving spirit. But we really thank the Lord for the foundation that our brother has laid for us. At least through that, then we know that we're on the right track. Then the last thing that the Lord recovered through him was the matter of the body of Christ. Well, in Ephesians it says that the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
But this is not just a doctrine. This is a reality. And the last 10 or 12 years of Brother Nee's ministry was very much on this one point. And he tried very hard to get through with the church. But it was not easy. You know, our mind is slow, and our understanding is slow. So today when I went back and I looked at those messages, I said, boy, Watchman Nee really had the vision. He was really a man of vision. But he kept talking and he kept talking. And like Bradley said, it's just like playing music to the cows. And nobody quite understood what he was talking about. But he repeated again and again that the church is the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, it is something organic. It's not an organization. And that organic body is what accomplished God's eternal purpose, defeat Satan, and bring in God's eternal kingdom. At that time, he didn't use the word economy, but he certainly used the word God's plan. And God's plan is God's economy. And in this universe, God has an enemy. And God's plan is to defeat his enemy and to bring in his kingdom. And the way he does that is through his body. And today what God is doing is not to just make you spiritual. Just make you a spiritual giant, make you an individual overcomer. What God is doing today is He has one purpose, He has one goal, which is to build up His body. He wants to get the body. When He gets the body, then Satan will be defeated. Today, if you read the book, The Glorious Church, then you know what the Watchman Nee was talking about. So God is not using individuals to defeat Satan, to bring down his kingdom. He is using a body. And what God is doing today is to build up this body. The individual churches, the local churches, are just the means. The different local churches in the different localities. They meet together, the believers meet together, they have to have a proper ground, they have to have proper administration. But the real significance is that they would become the real body of Christ. Amen. And when they become the body of Christ, then Satan is defeated. And that is what God is doing in this end time. See, in Revelation chapter 12, you have the woman, the vision of the woman. And the woman, he brought forth a man-child. And the man-child defeated the dragon. Well, the dragon is the devil, Satan. And the woman is the universal body of Christ. And it brings forth a man-child, which is the overcoming part. And that will fulfill God's eternal purpose. So the body of Christ is something organic. It's not an organization, and it is directly related to God's eternal purpose. Listen, if you see this vision, it is worth giving your whole life and everything you have to this. And Brother Lee said it is something that we see. 2 years ago, there's a Jewish brother that came, and he has very strong Jewish background. And Brother Lee had a long talk with him, and I was there. And the main thing that Brother Lee said was, see, all these years, what the Lord has shown us is not just some doctrines, it's not just some teaching. Everything that we see is a vision. And Paul said, I have not been disobedient to this vision. And when he saw that, he just gave up all his Jewish background. He was so strong with his Jewish background. But one day, God appeared to him, and he saw a vision. And I was very impressed by that talk. And then I realized that everything that is in the Lord's recovery today is not just some doctrinal truth that some theologians and teachers inherited, that we inherit from them. But it is some vision that we see by the Word opening up to us. And the last one of that is the body of Christ. Well, praise the Lord, today we see that the body of Christ consummates in the New Jerusalem. Amen. So today it's the vision is even clearer. We know that God has an economy, which is God's plan. And this plan is to dispense Himself into us to be our life and to be our everything so that He can produce the body of Christ that consummates in the New Jerusalem. Amen. But the seed of that is with Brother Nee. His work recovered these truths. Let me just repeat that. Number one is the truth about salvation, which includes the difference between salvation and reward and punishment. The second one is the truth about the church, what the church is. And that includes the content, the ground, and the practice of the church. Then the third thing is about Christ as life. Amen. And the experience of Christ being our life. Amen. And the last thing is the vision of the body of Christ and God's eternal plan. Amen. And how this body of Christ will fulfill God's plan. But these are the precious items of truth that are being recovered. And of course our brother used many means. He used publications, he used conferences, and he conducted trainings and all these things he used to in his ministry to help to recover these truths. And if you have time, I really encourage you to spend time to read through all those collected works of Watchman Nee. They're very, very rich. They lay the foundation of the Lord's recovery today. I really thank the Lord for this servant of God, Watchman Nee, and also for Brother Lee to recover all these truths to us so that today we do have a bright highway in front of us that we can go on to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
I'll just stop here.